next week. More from the news desk later.
More now on that Assembly report on Iris and Peter Robinson. John McBurney is Iris Robinson's solicitor. Good evening.
Good evening.
What's your response to the report?
Well, obviously, I have had more of an involvement and knowledge of its content for more time than others. And we have accepted for some considerable time through the process that there should have been a registration of an interest in these monies. It was an unusual set of circumstances. The money wasn't all coming to Iris for her personal use or anything like that. But it is accepted that members of the public could think that that would influence her in some way in her capacity as an MLA, and that the interest should have been registered in that way. That's why I argued that it was more technical than substantive, because the £50,000 did not come to her. So we accepted that there was a failure to register.
But only after that had been decided by the committee. Why was it only after the committee had come to its decision that there was a breach? Was that accepted?
No, we accepted that a long time ago in correspondence with the commissioner.
Yes, they submitted to you a draft of their conclusions. Yeah. You gave a response to that, but it was only, from my reading of the report, after they had made their final conclusions that you, in a letter, accepted that there had been a breach.
No, there were earlier letters with the commissioner going way back where we accepted that there was a need to register the interest in these
yes,
monies.
Yes, but did you accept there was a breach, or was it was it only after the investigation had found that you accepted it?
No, the argument, Seamus, was between whether or not it was a serious breach or a technical breach. My argument was that it was quite technical and not substantive. But
just on that, the committee finds that it was neither technical nor understandable.
That's right.
It takes an entirely different view
of that. It does. And I want to show due respect to the unanimous decision of the committee and the commissioner, but I'm still entitled to hold my opinion that in the unusual circumstances of this, I am saying it is understandable in the sense that given the mental health issues that were affecting Iris at the time and still do, that it was very difficult to see how she was going to register an interest in those particular monies. She did not see that they were her monies at all.
Do you accept that the failure
or had any control of them?
Do you accept that the failure to register the payments from the developers adds weight, as the committee has it, to their perception, or as the commissioner rather has it, and the committee doesn't disagree, adds weight to their perception of an improper nature?
We accept that some members of the public may have thought that because that money flowed to the start-up of this business in the way that it did, that it could have influenced her some way in some decision that may have come forward in the Assembly. But there were no decisions coming forward in the Assembly which it could have influenced. But we accept that she should have registered an interest in those monies. But that was accepted back at the time the Commissioner was preparing his report. The argument that was flowing was whether or not it was a serious breach.
And you still refuse to accept the committee's or the commissioner's view that it was a serious breach?
No, we show full regard and respect for the committee in arriving at that conclusion.
Well, do you accept that conclusion?
I still believe that in the most unusual circumstances of this case, and they really are quite unusual.
So you do not accept that it was a serious breach?
I accept, obviously, the findings of the committee.
Which was that it was a serious breach.
That it's a serious breach. That is what
you
they have found.
That.
And I'm not in a position to challenge that in any way, nor is there any intention to do so. But I do still feel that in the peculiar circumstances of this case, that...
What do you mean by peculiar circumstances?
Because the money was not coming to Iris for her personal benefit at any point. Even the £5,000 that came back came back with the instructions from Fred Fraser that the money go to good causes.
And has it gone to good causes?
That's where it went, and we established that to the police.
Who did it go to?
It went to a range of different causes.
Can you say what they were?
I can't give all of those details now because it's quite some time ago, as you can imagine, and they were all provided to the police in the investigation.
Can you tell us who any of them were?
Well, if an example would be Help for Heroes. There were monies paid to Help for Heroes, as an example. But the police got all of those details in the investigation. It was a very detailed investigation. I attended the interviews in the hospital in London. That was all a very fragile, difficult time for Iris.
Have you spoken to her today?
I have had contact with her last evening. I haven't been speaking to her through the course of today. She's obviously very concerned and anxious and distressed. She has had enormous support from Peter and other members of the family. It has been a very difficult time over the past 4 or 5 years, as anyone can imagine. They have had lots of setbacks, lots of ups and downs with this. And it's a process now where hopefully with the publication of the report, we're not trying to be churlish about the content of this report at all. The redactions were necessary. There's been a lot of talk about the redactions.
Yeah, some people feeling they were excessive.
Yes.
And they take away from the transparency and accountability that people expect.
Well, if I could just say something on that. For example, at the start of this process, some of the documents that were going to be attached were police interviews in the hospital in London. I did not feel that that was in any way appropriate. Police statements taken from individuals being attached as police documents. I took that up with the police, took it up with the commissioner. There were redactions from texts of private material, which was nothing to do with what was being investigated whatsoever, and those were redacted.
Why were BBC transcripts redacted?
Well, the BBC transcript of the programme itself wasn't felt to be necessary. I was not arguing that that be redacted. I think the committee itself and their legal team must have decided this is a programme that has been aired.
Do you feel that was excessive?
Well, I don't think that anything that they removed was excessive.
But you didn't see any reason for removing the BBC transcript.
Well, I didn't. It's like removing part of a book that's on a shelf.
But there seems
in a bookshop.
On the face of it, no reason why that should have been redacted.
But it was,
it's out there.
It was material that was extraneous to what was needed for anyone to understand the conclusions that they had arrived
Surely
at.
Surely it was fundamental to the investigation, and
no,
it is what started the investigation.
Well,
it
made a series of allegations. The allegations are recited within the document. The allegations are all set out. The allegations against Peter are all set out and are discounted, and entirely.
But all of this gives rise to a perception of a lack of transparency.
I don't think so. I think as people study the document as has been published, they will see that there's enough information there to understand exactly the limited decision that was taken, in the sense that all of the other matters were discounted, and the registration of an interest in the monies was the only failing.
All right. John McBurney, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Time's 3:15.